You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Timberwolves website. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you are having a great start to your week. Are excited for NBA playoff basketball tonight. Game 7 in the Western Conference for the right to play the Los Angeles Lakers in the conference finals. And then also game 1 of the East Finals is this evening. We'll talk briefly about that today. I also want to talk about, round out the conversation from Monday's show, which was the most likely trade destinations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I talked about, I think, 6 teams yesterday. I want to talk about my top 2 most likely trade destinations for, I should say, that the Timberwolves' number 1 pick, trade partners for the Timberwolves. And then also talk about a few Wolves notes here off the top related to potential players, some news out there about players the Wolves are interested in, and so forth. So before we get to that, though, first, a friendly reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. You can follow me personally at B Beacon. That's B as in boy or B as in Ben. Beacon, B-E-E-C-K-E-N. All right. So quick, let's hit these Wolves notes before we get into the who I think are the two most likely trade partners for the Wolves, at least if they do end up trading the number 1 pick, that is. I guess the biggest note is related to Facundo Campazzo, the Argentinian point guard. We talked about him, I think, roughly 2 weeks ago as somebody that the Timberwolves were interested in. This was reported in a number of places, really, around the internet. But one of the most recent reports that just came out this week has the Wolves listed as the most likely team to end up with Campazzo. This is by Spanish outlet Marca. Eurohoops had previously reported that Campazzo was a target of the Timberwolves, the Mavericks, and the Spurs. Just a quick rehash of that conversation from a couple weeks ago. If you're not familiar with Campazzo, he is a point guard. His nickname is the Magician. He's known for his playmaking ability, his passing. He's not very big. He would be roughly Jordan McLaughlin size. I think maybe a little bit bigger. He's a solid shooter and would bring certainly in a lot of ways. Actually, there's some similarities to Jordan McLaughlin. Just probably a little bit of a higher ceiling. Certainly some veteran savvy. Obviously not a veteran of the NBA, but has been playing pro basketball for a long time. He was actually teammates with Luka Doncic at Real Madrid. And the connections that Doncic has to the Spurs and Mavericks are fairly obvious. Manu Ginobili played, of course, for the Spurs, and it was a fellow countryman. The Spurs have a long track record of having success with international players, whether it be Tony Parker, Patty Mills, the list goes on. Manu Ginobili, obviously. And the Mavericks, of course, he was teammates with Doncic overseas. And so he could be a fit there as well. The Timberwolves are potentially a fit because Pablo Prigioni is from Argentina and was actually a teammate with Campazzo on the national team several years ago. Of course, Prigioni is entering his second season as an assistant coach with the Timberwolves. So there's a clear connection there as well. And McLaughlin's really the only depth that the Wolves have at point guard. They don't have anybody else on the roster that has played point guard at the NBA level. Obviously, last year, Jarrett Culver handled a lot. The Wolves gave playmaking opportunities to every point guard that was on the team at the start of the year, at least on the Timberwolves active roster, is no longer with the team. So really, you're looking at D'Angelo Russell and Jordan McLaughlin, and that's it. Now, McLaughlin was really good at the end of last season, but we don't know for sure that he'll be back. Technically, he's officially a restricted free agent coming off of a 2-way contract, so the Wolves will need to figure out how to retain him. And they, who knows what the Timberwolves' actual perception of McLaughlin is. I think his final 4 to 6 weeks, and maybe that's even a little bit, I think it was more like 3 or 4 weeks of the season when he played really well. Was it a fluke? Was it not? I tend to think he's going to be a solid NBA player as a backup, but there could be some upside to Campazzo where he could perhaps even play with Russell some, allow Russell to play off the ball. There may be a little bit more scoring upside and even playmaking upside than what McLaughlin has. I wrote about Campazzo a little bit at Dunking with Wolves a couple of weeks ago when the news initially broke. He is listed at only 5'10". McLaughlin's listed at 5'11", so he's probably a little shorter than that. He has a great floater in the paint. He's a decent three-point shooter. He basically over the last 3 years, he shot 38% from deep. This last year, he was just 31% from deep in EuroLeague. So, he's probably a league average-ish three-point shooter, but he's got that in-between game, the floater game. He's a great passer, lots of fancy passes. If you watch any highlight reel of Campazzo, you're going to see between-the-legs passes. You're going to see really impressive headbanding passes to ignite fast breaks. The type of guy that the Wolves are going to want, or the type of player that the Wolves want to help them play fast. McLaughlin can do all those things, and he's fast enough and athletic enough, but Campazzo might have a little bit more of that dynamic edge and, again, a higher ceiling and a higher, long-term potential than McLaughlin might. Remember, McLaughlin was a four-year player, played 1 year in the G League. He's already going to be 25 here in the next year. Not that Campazzo's younger than that. He's not, but, it's not like McLaughlin has significantly higher upside, and Campazzo has been playing professionally for a long time. So, I think it's fascinating, of course, and I'm sure, given the other organizations interested in him, the Spurs and the Mavs, those are generally good organizations with fantastic coaches and solid front offices that you want to be mentioned in the same sentence as teams looking to add this guy. So Campazzo sounds like a legitimate possibility. And again, this report most recently coming from the Spanish outlet Marca is saying that the Timberwolves are, quote, the most likely NBA destination for Facu Campazzo. So we will definitely keep an eye on that. And obviously what that trickle down effect could have on Jordan McLaughlin and the rest of the Timberwolves roster is it's certainly possible that it impacts what they do, moving forward here as we get closer to finally what should be free agency. All right, before we get to talking about the two most likely trade partners for the Timberwolves, if they do in fact move the number one pick, let's talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, while rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. It's for everybody, does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. That's Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Before we get into the top two potential trade partners for the Wolves related to the number one pick, I mentioned the NBA playoffs, I should say. So this evening is the Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then following that, both games on ESPN is Denver and the Clippers. Game seven to find out who takes on LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the LA Lakers beginning on Friday night in the Western Conference Finals. So some awesome basketball ahead. Lots of Jimmy Butler tonight, lots of Jason Tatum, Jokic going up against Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. It'll be awesome. So we'll talk a little bit about that on Wednesday's show. Just kind of recapping anything significant that happens. Of course it will, because game one of the conference finals in the East and game seven, Western Conference semifinals, there's going to be something to talk about for sure. All right. So getting back to the Timberwolves, I wanted to discuss the two teams that I think are most likely to complete a trade with the Wolves for the number one pick. The show on Monday, if you missed it, go back and listen to it. I kind of breezed through a few teams that I think have a shot at completing a trade, teams with really outside shots, because I don't think they're going to be willing to give up enough, and outside of their top trade chips won't have enough to get a trade done. For instance, the Washington Wizards, I don't think have a realistic chance unless they give up Bradley Beal, and I don't think they're going to give up Bradley Beal. So they're on the outside looking in. Phoenix, San Antonio, kind of the same thing. Also Sacramento, they don't have the right combination of pieces or draft picks to complete a trade. I had the Pelicans on my list as the fourth most likely team simply because of Jrue Holiday, although that trade would make me nervous, again, for reasons that I explained on Monday's show. And in short, basically related to Holiday's contract situation, I don't think you want to overpay for a guy who's almost certainly going to hit free agency next offseason. Number three is the New York Knicks, mostly because they're going to be really motivated to get a deal done and they have a lot of tradable contracts. To be clear, the Knicks themselves will not have enough ammo to get this trade done, by themselves. They will need to include a third team. The Wolves aren't going to get enough assets. They don't want Julius Randle 2 years, almost $39 million left on that deal. They don't want some combination of Kevin Knox and other pieces, plus a couple of mid to late first round picks or future Mavericks picks, which aren't going to be that great. The Knicks just don't have enough to get it done. I know they like to think it with those Mavericks picks, but they're suddenly a lot less attractive with how good Luka Doncic was this year. So I don't think the Knicks will get the trade done, but I did have them third on my list because of their motivation and because of some of those tradable pieces. And also draft picks they could send to other teams. So if there was a third team involved that sent a player to the Wolves, the Knicks could send picks to that team. The Wolves could send pieces to both teams. And I think that's the way that a trade with the Knicks could potentially get completed. All right, so on to the top two. Number two on my list is the Chicago Bulls. We've talked a little bit about the Bulls as a potential trade partner for the Timberwolves, mostly because of Zach LaVine's contract and the way he would potentially fit with the Wolves roster. Also, Lauri Markkanen seemingly being an almost perfect fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns at the four. In fact, just last week, there was one of those fake trades that I believe somebody at Bleacher Report had put out that I discussed on the show. And basically what I said was Markkanen is about to get his contract extension after next year. He's going to get paid something, I don't know, we'll call it $20 million, probably a little less than that, but he's going to seek more than that. Say he gets $20 million. Would you rather have Lauri Markkanen for $20 million or Juancho Hernan Gomez, who's hitting restricted free agency this offseason, for like $6.5 million? I think the answer is you want Hernan Gomez for $6 million versus Markkanen at $20 million. Yes, Markkanen's a little bit better. Yes, he's got more upside. But Hernan Gomez is arguably just as good, if not better, of a defender. He actually shot the three ball better last year than Markkanen. And he's a switchable defender. I mean, there's some upside there still with Hernan Gomez. He hasn't received consistent minutes really at the NBA level and was a good rotational player in Denver for a really good Nuggets team. I just don't think Markkanen is that much better. I don't think he's, you know, 60% better or whatever than Juancho Hernan Gomez. Now, Zach LaVine could be had most likely. He's got a couple years left on his deal. It's surprising to me he only had 2 years left going back and looking at this. But the Wolves could probably get a trade done to acquire Zach LaVine. He does a lot of the same stuff as Malik Beasley. He's got a quick release. He's athletic. He's great in transition. He's a really good transition three-point shooter. He can get to the rim. He gets to the rim a little bit better and more often than Beasley. He's also longer, and well, he's not a better defender than Beasley. He, in theory, could be, and at least has a bigger wingspan and is a little bit, you know, overall quicker on defense than Beasley in terms of getting into passing lanes and things like that. But he still isn't a good defender, and that's what's keeping him from being a superstar in this league and really even getting to star level. So the Wolves calculus may tell them that they'd rather have Malik Beasley for, call it, $14 million in restricted free agency this summer than Zach LaVine at the, let's see, what's his exact number? It's roughly $20 million, if I'm not mistaken, $19.5 million. Each of the next 2 years. Would you rather have Zach LaVine at 19.5 or Malik Beasley at 13.5 or 14? That's a little bit closer to me than Markkanen, because I do think Levine's a better player than Beasley. But again, we don't know exactly what Beasley's going to bring to the table as a full-time starter. And if it's 20 points a game, 40% three-point shooting, okay enough defense, but he's also a lower usage guy on offense, I think he's a better fit than LaVine. Yes, LaVine's a little bit more dynamic, but he also needs the ball in his hands more. Even though he plays off the ball, he runs a lot of offense for the Bulls. He had a usage rate of over 31% last year, 30.5% the year before, 29.5% before that. It's gone up every year with Chicago. And while he's improved, the Wolves aren't going to have, they're not going to want him to have the ball in his hands more often than Karl-Anthony Towns or D'Angelo Russell on the perimeter. And I think putting LaVine next to D'Angelo Russell is every bit as bad, if not worse, than Malik Beasley. So I'd rather spend six-ish million less to keep Beasley. Perhaps he's even a better shooter. I mean, last year he certainly was. LaVine, for his career, he's a good three-point shooter, but he's only 37.5%. He was 38% last year, but that was his best mark since pre-ACL injury. And Beasley was better than that last year. He's a better, as of right now, is a better three-point shooter, and in theory should be a lower usage player for the Wolves, a third option or potentially a fourth option who can just catch and shoot to his heart's content. For his career, he's just a hair under 39% from three, 42.6% last year with the Wolves. If you include the first few months with the Nuggets, he was 38.8% from three last year. So the last 2 years for Beasley are better than any year of Zach LaVine's career shooting the three ball. And again, I think I'd rather have Beasley at his cost than what LaVine is ultimately going to cost. The trade that I propose on Dunking with Wolves that could get done would be the number four and Markkanen from the Bulls for the number one and Jarrett Culver going to the Bulls from Minnesota. Or it could be if the Wolves took on LaVine, they would ask for, they would probably have to give up more. So they'd probably throw in another draft pick. Plus they'd trade the James Johnson contract. And I think at that point, you'd rather retain your $16 million expiring contract that James Johnson has. I think you'd rather keep your 17 pick and your one pick and your Jarrett Culver versus overpaying Zach LaVine $19.5 million over the next 2 years. And I love Zach LaVine. Back in June of 2017, when the Wolves traded for Jimmy Butler from Chicago, I was clamoring for the Wolves to trade Wiggins and keep LaVine. Who knows? I mean, the Bulls, I think, probably only wanted LaVine and not Wiggins because they knew Wiggins was going to cost a little bit more and need to be extended a little bit faster than LaVine. But at any rate, I just don't think paying LaVine $19.5 million and giving up assets is better than keeping Beasley for $13-14 million and then using those trade assets in another way. So ultimately, I don't think the Wolves trade with the Bulls either, but between Markkanen and LaVine, there are more possibilities, and who knows, it could be a three-team deal, but there are a few different ways this could go. Because and also, I breezed past this a minute ago, but they have the number four pick. And that matters. The Warriors aren't trading the number two to the Wolves for number one. That's not happening. The Wolves aren't likely to get the number three pick. So the Bulls have the best pick that could be available if the Wolves were to slide back and say they want to slide to four because they want their pick of, you know, after the first tier of LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman. Let's say they want to pick from Killian Hayes and Isaac Okoro and Onyeka Okongwu or all these other guys who are seen by many analysts and folks who write about this sort of thing as the next tier down, but perhaps the Wolves don't see much of a drop off, or maybe they have some of those guys in their first tier. So the Bulls could be an attractive trade partner because the Wolves may not feel like they're giving much up by trading from one to four. And if they love a guy like LaVine or Markkanen or whoever else they might get from the Bulls, perhaps that is a possibility. My money is not on that deal happening, however. All right, coming up, number one on my list for most likely trade partners with the Timberwolves. All right, the number one trade partner for the Minnesota Timberwolves, the most likely trade partner for the number one pick is the Atlanta Hawks. We've talked about them quite a bit on the show. They've got a number of assets, a number of young wings, a number of guys that they are willing to kind of, likely will be willing to kind of sift through, pick the guys they want to keep, move on some other guys that might still have some trade value. And they've also got, in this year's draft, the number six selection. So if the Wolves are looking to trade back into that second tier and take one of those wings that I mentioned earlier or somebody that I haven't mentioned, the Hawks could be a viable trade partner simply because they have the sixth pick. They've got some tradable wings. They've also got John Collins, who is rumored to be a potential, potentially on the block. Of course, the Hawks acquired Clint Capella as one of the teams in the giant Robert Covington trade that sent Covington from Minnesota to Houston and Beasley and Hernan Gomez to the Wolves and Evan Turner's expiring deal to Minnesota from Atlanta. So Capella's in Atlanta and already has a contract extension. He's got $55.6 million over the next 3 years. So the Hawks aren't looking to turn around and flip him. Jury's out on whether him and John Collins can play together. So they're likely going to move on from Collins before he gets his extension. Collins is going to be seeking something close to a max. His per game numbers this year, he joined the 2010 club for the first time in his career, and he shot over 40% on 3-point attempts, 40.1%, along with 21.6 points and 10.1 rebounds per game. So he is definitely going to use those numbers to try and get a max contract. And Atlanta's probably not going to be too interested in giving him that. They've got Trae Young, who will eventually need an extension. They've got Clint Capella, and they just might want to get to the number one pick in the draft to select Anthony Edwards, an Atlanta native and a recent, well, I guess not graduate. He played 1 year. He's a one and done guy at University of Georgia, but he played at the University of Georgia last year and is from Atlanta. And the Hawks need some star power on the wing, and they might think it's Anthony Edwards. They've got plenty of wings on the team currently. I mean, looking up and down that roster, you're talking about recent first-round draft picks like a couple of years ago, Kevin Huerter was picked, I think, one pick before Josh Okogie, if I'm not mistaken. DeAndre Hunter last year was the fourth overall pick, of course, picked two picks before Jarrett Culver. They've got other guys with maybe a little bit less upside, but still valuable players. Another former first round pick, DeAndre Bembry, is on the team still and has played a rotation role over the past couple of years. He's going to have less value in a trade, obviously, than Herter or than DeAndre Hunter. They've got Cam Reddish, who of course was a rookie last year as well. He was the 10th overall pick in last year's draft. So they've got last year's fourth pick, last year's 10th pick, Kevin Herter, who was the 19th pick a couple of years ago, Bembry, who was picked late in the first round a couple of years before that. And they don't have room for all those guys. And none of them likely have the upside of Anthony Edwards, who could be selected at number one in this draft. So I think the Hawks are primed for a trade for the number one pick. And I think that John Collins and some combination of wing players and the number six pick can get it done. My proposed trade would be the number six pick, John Collins and Kevin Herter to the Timberwolves for the number one, maybe the 17 if the Hawks need the 17 as well, Jarrett Culver and Jacob Evans. I think the Wolves will try and hang on to the 17 and then parlay that into a 2021 first round pick to try and get back into the first round next year in a deeper draft where they don't have a pick currently. So if they can get this done, the one and Culver, and then throw in another player like a Jacob Evans or maybe Omari Spellman going back to Atlanta to get Collins and the number six, I think you just do it without Herter or with that, you know, whatever other player you end up getting. The other possibility is that this could get done without John Collins. The Wolves might just say, hey, give us DeAndre Hunter, who had a disappointing rookie season, but has 3-and-D upside and was really highly thought of just last year. It was taken two picks before Culver and one pick before Darius Garland, for that matter, who the Timberwolves reportedly were targeting when they acquired the number six pick. The Wolves could get the six in DeAndre Hunter this year for the number one. And is that enough to trade back? I've talked about that previously on the show as maybe the floor for trading the number one pick. It's not super sexy. I guess you could sell it as getting, you know, two top six picks in back-to-back years. And I guess three, if you include Culver, because Hunter was the fourth pick, but acquiring DeAndre Hunter in the six for the one isn't super exciting, but I mean, it's value, right? I mean, you're gaining value. You're effectively getting a four and a six for a one. And that's not bad, especially in a draft like this. You know, if there was a Zion Williamson or somebody at one, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But when there's no clear-cut number one pick that fits your roster, if you can get last year's number four and this year's number six in exchange for a number one that you don't really want, then you do it. I would still like to try and get John Collins as part of this deal if I'm the Timberwolves. I think he brings enough value to the table, and I do think he fits with Karl-Anthony Towns. He can stretch the floor. He can defend a little bit. He hasn't been a great defender, but with the length of Towns and Collins and also enough athleticism and basketball IQ on both ends of the floor, if David Vanterpool and the Wolves coaching staff can coach those guys up and get them to try a little bit on defense, I think that pairing could work, and it would be absolutely frightening offensively for opposing teams. So I think the Atlanta Hawks are the most likely trade partner for the Timberwolves if the Wolves ultimately move the number one pick. And I don't think it's particularly close, actually, either, although there are 28 other teams that are certainly going to get phone calls from Sachin Gupta and Gerson Rosas and the Timberwolves front office as they continue to do the legwork on what the value of this number one pick in a really weird year. And I know that's an understatement, but in a really weird year and a really weird draft, what that number one pick is actually worth. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll talk NBA playoffs from Tuesday evening. We will talk any other Timberwolves news that crops up between now and then. Thanks once again for listening to the show. The Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to this podcast and all the Locked On podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also a reminder that we are daily. We'll be back tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, every single week as we continue to navigate this extremely long offseason. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.